Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, we'll read. These are, if you'll notice when you turn there in your Bible, the words of Jesus. Mostly, there's one of the verses that Thomas, one of the disciples, is speaking. But most of the words are the words of Jesus. Chapter 14 of John, the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read it, and if you have a Bible, you follow along with me, please. And I encourage you to bring your Bible or get a pew Bible and read. Chapter 14, verse 1, John, the words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's the King James Version of the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. I pray that God will add His blessing to the reading of His Word, and that He'll open it up to you and to me, His Word, by the Spirit of God. That's my prayer. I'm going to continue praying that, and I'm going to pray audibly now, and you pray along with me, please, that God would do that. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, to be in the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Thank you for the desire to be here. We desire it, Lord, because you've made us your own, and you've taught us that you loved us from before the foundation of the world, and you love us now, and you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Father, for the shed blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary that saved us from our sins. Thank you for the opportunity to worship in the house, the house of God, the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Bless me, Lord, to understand your word and to preach your word, I pray. Bless us all to understand it and hear it and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've been good to us and you're merciful to us. We thank you for the good reports. We thank you for the life of Brother Ralph's mom and her long life and her faithfulness to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've taken her home and you're holding up her family and you're comforting them as only you can do. Thank you for that. Thank you for blessing Sister Carol to be home from the hospital and being better. We pray that each day she'll improve. You'll help her and help her and give her strength, please, and return her to her strength, we pray, to be your will. Thank you for Brother Victor and for his daily progress that he's walking unaided now and he's daily making progress. Thank you for the great physician that you are in helping us in our infirmities. Father, the good reports we've had, the meetings that are coming up, we pray for them. And thank you for being with us and helping us day by day. Now as we look at your word again, Lord, we pray that you would open it up to us and teach us by your Holy Spirit, and that you would be honored and glorified by what we do here, and that we would be instructed and be zealous about service to our Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, that name above every name, we pray. Amen. Brethren, these are words of Jesus right here, and I want to try to preach to you today about the statement of Jesus where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These words were spoken on the evening of Jesus' betrayal and his denial by Simon Peter and his arrest. And he would go to the cross, as I understand it, the following day, to save you and me from our sins. And these are some parting words of Jesus before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. and has prayer there, and there his arrest will take place. But if you look back, look at chapter 13, brethren. Chapter 13, the preceding chapter, Jesus begins a lot of teaching here to his disciples who were with him. My Bible has a heading that says, Jesus washeth his disciples' feet and exhorteth them to humility and charity. Jesus foretelleth his betrayal. He forewarneth Peter of his denial. The early part of chapter 13, it says that supper is ended. Jesus has instituted the Last Supper. And then he lays aside his outer garment. He takes a towel and he wraps it around himself. And he pours water in a basin. And he kneels before his disciples. There were 12 of them. And he begins to wash their feet. As far as the scripture goes, it appears that he says nothing to them as he's doing that. And he washes their feet one by one. And then as he's seated, he begins to tell them and teach them about what he's done. There is a conversation between him and Simon Peter, and you can read that. But Jesus, after he's finished washing the disciples' feet, he's teaching them a lesson, brethren, about humility. And that he, the brethren, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, which is Jesus, bowed before these men that he had chosen to be his apostles and his disciples, and he washes their feet. And that's a pretty lowly thing to do, isn't it? We have spouses, we have family members sometimes that get incapacitated, and we'll help them with their daily needs, their activities of daily living. And we do that because we love our spouses, our husband, our wives, our children. You know, parents, they bathe children. And maybe children bathe parents when the parents get older and infirm. And that's what we do. But brethren, Jesus bowed before these men who were not his brothers in the flesh, and he washed their feet. And he taught it. It was a lesson in humility and a lesson in love. And I'll tell you what, Judas, who would soon betray him, Jesus bowed before Judas and washed his feet. Judas was going to turn him over to the Romans. And Simon Peter, who pretty soon would say, I don't know him. I don't know him. And then he would swear and say, I don't know him. Jesus bowed before, knowing that, Jesus bowed before Simon Peter and washed his feet. So there's the lesson, and that's another sermon for another time, or several sermons. But then, brethren, he does speak of his betrayal that's coming up, and he warns Peter, who says, I'll die for you. And Jesus says, you're even going to deny that you know me, Peter. And then verse 14 comes, because chapter 14 comes in verse 1. Jesus here, brethren, is encouraging those men that he's about to leave. He has told them that he's going to leave them. He's about to go to the cross. He's going to die. They've been following him day and night for about 3 years now, and he's going to go away. And he says to them in verse 1, don't worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We sang the hymn this morning, Victory in Jesus. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. The songwriter, the hymn writer of that hymn, Victory in Jesus, no doubt is referring here to this. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm leaving. I go to prepare a place for you. And Brother Ralph, maybe that's occurred to you about your mama, that she's in home in glory now. She's got the victory in Jesus. It's come to fruition in her life. She's now walking by sight and not by faith, because faith is consummated now where she is. I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The words of Jesus to his followers. And then he says, brethren, then I believe that Jesus makes a statement now to prompt the apostles to inquire further, to show that they didn't understand what he's talking about. Jesus says this, where I'm going, you know, and you know the way that I'm going to get there. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Bear this in mind, brethren, as we go through this. Jesus is talking heavenly things, spiritual things. The apostles are perceiving earthly things. They think he's going down the road somewhere to set up an earthly kingdom, that he's going to throw off the Roman yoke, that he's going to set up he's going to be a king here on the earth. He would soon tell Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. But the disciples are still stuck on, this is our man, this is our king, he's going to whip the Romans and throw them out, and we're going to have our kingdom right here on this earth. But that's not what Jesus was about, brethren. He said, and I think to instigate, if you will, that idea, to bring it to the surface so that he can address it, Jesus makes this statement. He says, where I'm going, you know. You know where I'm going, and you know the way that I take. One of the Bible commentators says that Thomas now speaks, and Thomas says, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? You know, if I walked out the front door today after the service and said to one of y'all or all of y'all, well, you all know where I'm going and you know the way that I'm going. You may assume I'm headed to my hometown and you know where I live, and you may guess at the road that I'm going to take, but you're not sure. Thomas was saying, Lord, you're going to some town to set up your kingdom, to be installed as the king. We don't know where that is, and we don't know the route you're going to take. And then, brethren, look at the answer. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about, and it's apparent here. Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, a few days ago, I was at Spring Hill Church, and I think there were four services. It might have been three. I'm not sure. Because since then, I was at another church, and there were four services. And in each of those meetings, I took a service, and I tried to preach on Jesus' statement, I am the way. And then I took a service, and I tried to teach, I am the truth. And then the third, I am the life. And we had about 30 minutes to cover each one of those. And today, I'm going to try to cover all three in probably, 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes left. So I'm going to go fast. So stay with me, please. You will see that Jesus, brethren, is talking about spiritual things, not earthly things, when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So quickly, we'll go for it, brethren. Section 1, I am the truth. Jesus, I am the way. Jesus is the way. What way? You know, out front of the church, there's a way out there. There's a right of way that we can travel. We have the ability and the right to travel that piece of dirt out there. It's a long strip with asphalt on it, and we get on it and we go where we want to go. That's the way. That's a way. That is a way. But brethren, Jesus says, I am the way. I love that. Don't you? Jesus says, I'm it. I'm the way. The what way is he? What way is he? Well, there are a lot of ideas on there. A lot of them are correct. But here's the one I want to bring to you today is, brethren, Jesus, he is the way to the Father. Because he ends that statement by saying, no man comes to the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way to the Father. That road out there is the way to town, or the way this way. It'll take you where you want to go, generally. If you get on you got a destination, you get on the way that'll take you there. Brethren, Jesus is the way to the Father. He's the way to heaven. He's the only way. He says, that's the only way. So there, that's what he means by that. I'm the way. And brethren, he made that way, we get that way through Jesus, and only through Jesus. We travel that way, the way to the Father, and the way to the eternal heaven by Jesus. there was a washout in the road. If you come to a detour or a barrier and the road's washed out, you can't get across, can you? You have to turn around and go back. You're stuck. You can't get to your destination. Brethren, there was a barrier to us getting to the Father because we fell away. We sinned. We fell when Adam fell. That's called the fall of man. When Adam sinned, that sin was passed on to us and is passed on to us. And in addition to that, we sin. All have sinned, the Word of God says. I think it's Romans 3:23. All have sinned. All have sinned. Every one of us. And to get over that barrier, that divide, Jesus is the way. He's the bridge that crosses the divide. An illustration I've used many times from that song, popular song, a bridge to cross the great divide between man and God, a holy God. We sang about that too, didn't we, this morning? Holy, holy, holy. God is holy, brethren. He's thrice holy. And we're sinners. And God can't look on sin. He can't have sin. He can't tolerate it. He can't, because He's holy. His character will not allow that. And so we had to become holy. Well, I stayed home last night. I didn't go to the juke. I didn't go out. I didn't do a bunch of sinning last night. I stayed home. I read my Bible. Then I turned on the TV, and that was probably not a good thing. I watched a movie that was not something I ought to been watching. It wasn't pornographic, but it was not. It was worldly. It was worldly. So, brethren, we sin, and all it takes is one sin to separate us from God. We sin. We sin. And we needed something to bridge that divide, a bridge to cross the divide. And as the song says, the cross bridges the divide. The cross of Jesus, it makes us holy. Now, there's a practical righteousness that we get, and we get it by obeying Jesus and His Word and God's Word and the Ten Commandments. We get that day by day. We can do that. But, brethren, that's good works, and that won't get us to heaven. It'll get us in good stead with God day by day, and we'll reap blessings. If we're obedient, God will bless us. That doesn't mean we won't suffer. And it doesn't mean we won't sin. But if we do our best and we hold to the narrow way, then we get blessed for it. But brethren, that won't get us to heaven. Because the Bible tells us our righteousness is like a filthy rag, a soiled rag in the sight of God. Because He's holy, holy, holy. And we're sinful. We get there, brethren, we get there by the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's imputed to us. It's given to us. The free gift of God to His people. And that came about, brethren, when He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. And that's Jesus. He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. We are made righteous before God through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way, brethren. And that's the way. Jesus is the way. The truth. Now, the truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. There are a lot of ideas about that, and there are a lot of correct ideas about it, and I'm going to just try to give you two this morning. I am the truth, Jesus says. By definition, brethren, Jesus is the truth. You may know I like to look up definitions, and as I was studying, preparing for these meetings I've just preached, I looked up truth. And there are a lot of definitions. One is consistent with the facts. Truth. Another is a spiritual definition of truth is this. Listen to this, brethren. Transcendent spiritual reality. That's what truth is. That's a definition, and it's a good one. Truth is transcendent spiritual reality. Well, when I found that the other day, I said, well, I know what spiritual is. I know what reality is. What does transcendent mean? Transcendent means beyond the range of normal human experience. It transcends, it goes outside the bounds of our normal human experience. Well, Jesus certainly does that, doesn't He? We experience Him, but this is talking about, in my mind, a transcendent spiritual reality is Jesus, brethren, transcends what our normal human experiences are. For example, he was born of a virgin. Only time it's ever happened. Mary, the mother of Jesus, became with child, but she had not been with a man. And you know, we know that's the way it happens. That's the way children are conceived. But Mary conceived, and she was not married. She'd not been with a man. She was conceived of the Holy Spirit. That transcends our normal experience, doesn't it? Jesus, here's another one. God became flesh. That's Jesus. He became flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14, I believe it is, says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now, when does that ever happen? One time. That doesn't happen every day, does it? That's beyond our normal human experience. But it happened in history some 2,000 years ago. God became man. And God, Jesus was fully God and fully man. Not 50% God, 50% man. He was 100% God, 100% man. I say that, but I can't really explain it to you. So you take it and you meditate on it and just know that that's right. He was fully God and he was fully man. And he was born not in sin like you and I were, because he was born from above. It took a sinless offering to God, the holy, holy, holy God, to pay for our sins. And that was Jesus. That's a transcendent, it goes beyond our normal human experience, spiritual, God is a spirit, reality. It's real. It's real. And you know it's real, or you wouldn't be sitting here today in those pews. You know it's real because God has taught that to you. Jesus on one occasion said to his apostles, "Who do men say I am?" He'd been walking and teaching and healing, laboring, ministering, and he says, "Hey fellas, what are the people saying about me? Who do they say that I am?" And they said, "Oh, well, they say you're Jeremiah or John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets." And then he said, "Who do you say I am?" Brethren, that is the seminal question. That's the pivotal question. He said to them, I know that he must have just looked every one of them in the eye and said, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter, who was very bold and spoke up often, sometimes too much, he said, "You are the Christ. You are Jesus. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Brethren, that's the right answer. That's the correct answer. There's no other answer. That's it. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know what Jesus said to him? "Simon, you are a blessed man. Because you know that." That's it in a nutshell. "Because you know that." Do you know that today? Do you know that? If you do, brethren, you're a blessed person, because not everybody knows that. That's Jesus, brethren. He is a transcendent spiritual reality. Also, he's the truth in that, brethren. He was true to God. He said, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And he carried out that mission. When he was 12 years old, his mama and his stepfather, Joseph, couldn't find him. And they were looking everywhere for him. When they found him back in Jerusalem, in the temple, reasoning with the experts in the Jewish law, they got on to him and said, "Son, we've been worried about you. It's been 2 or 3 days since we've seen you. We couldn't find you." And you know what he said? "You should have looked here first in the temple. Don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business?" He didn't say, "You should have looked here first." I said that. But if they thought right, they would have found him quicker, sooner. He said, I must be about my Father's business. I came down from the Father not to do my will, but the will of him." He was true to his mission. And brethren, he's true to us. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He was true to God, and he's true to you. He went to the cross for you. That's about as true as you can get, brethren. That was his mission, and he did it. "I am the life. I am the way." He's our way to God. He is the truth. He is a transcendent spiritual reality, and he's true to us. Always will be. Hebrews says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's true. Your friend may tell you that. Your boyfriend may tell you that. Or your girlfriend or your spouse may tell you that. And may or may not be true. Hopefully it is. But if Jesus says it, brethren, you can take it to the bank. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Life. L-I-F-E. Every one of us are enjoying life this morning, aren't we? You know where you got it? From God. Specifically, Jesus. He created all things. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus was God's instrument in creation. And you know that there were people alive before Jesus came to earth in a fleshly body? So he didn't have to come here to give us life. Physical life. Physical life is essentially a vital functioning body. I've got one right now. One day, if the Lord doesn't come back first, I won't have it anymore. It'll lay down and it'll give up the ghost. I won't breathe anymore. There won't be any more brain activity. My heart will stop beating. And I won't have life. But I've got it right now, and I love it and I enjoy it. That's physical life. But brethren, there's a different kind of life. And that's spiritual life. Jesus said in John, I believe it's chapter 10, I came down from heaven that they might have life. Now, who is he talking about there? You can go back and read the context, but he's talking about his people, the people that belong to him, the ones that he saved from their sins. And he had not gone to the cross at this time, but he was headed there. He says, I came down from heaven. I came that they might have life. So it couldn't be the physical life because people were already living in that day and age. He's talking about spiritual life. And in that teaching, he refers to his people as sheep. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The children of God are often referred to as sheep because we need a shepherd. We need to follow our shepherd. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. When we walk through the valley of shadow of death, his rod and staff comfort us. He's there for us. The Lord is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And he says, I came that they might have life. And then the rest of that sentence is, and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, abundant life, this side of heaven, is righteousness, doing the right thing, enjoying the right things, peace. Peace in the midst of troubles, peace with God, righteousness, peace, and joy, happiness, fun, doing the right things. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom of God, here on earth. Jesus says, I came that they might have life. He went to the cross and died so that we might live. He also came, brethren, to teach us the way to the abundant life. He teaches us in the, I think it's the Sermon on the Mount. He says, enter in at the straight gate. It's a narrow gate. It's a tough one to get through. But he says, that's where the abundant life is. That's where real life and happiness is. And he says, really, few find that gate. Few find it. When I was a boy, we had cows and hogs on the farm. And they'd get out sometimes. And what we would do is we weren't sure where they got out. We'd open the gate and try to run them back through the gate so they could get in. And any of y'all that have had livestock, and I know some of you do, you ever seen just a cow or a hog just run by the gate? You're standing there, you're tired, you're mad, you're late for something or whatever, mosquitoes or whatever, and the animal just runs by the gate. Man, that's a bad feeling. Then you got to go this way and try to cut him off and run him back by. And sometimes he just goes right on back by the gate. He can't find it or doesn't want to go in. I don't know which. It doesn't matter. He doesn't go in. Few people, brethren, find the narrow way. Few of God's people find the narrow way. And Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many go in there. Jesus is not talking about heaven, brethren, or missing heaven, or missing the gate of heaven, because if he died for you, brethren, you'll be there when you die. Don't worry about that. What Jesus says is, I've got abundant life for you. I've got better life for you. I've got a life above the world for you while you live here, if you'll press in that narrow way. And what that means, brethren, is just being obedient to Jesus. Being obedient to His teachings. And when you are, He comes and fellowships with you in a spiritual way. He reassures you. He says, that's the way to do it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. And He blesses you. He doesn't say that you'll never have trouble, but brethren, He says, I'll always be with you. And that's the only way for a child of God to be happy, is to enter into that narrow way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that narrow way leads to that abundant life. Brethren, Jesus is all in all. He died for us, and He lives now to intercede with God for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And He would have you and me to be obedient to Him so that we'd be blessed. He wants that for each of us. And I'll tell you what, if Jesus died for you and you know it, the only way you're going to be happy is to walk that narrow way. It's the only way you're going to do it. Only way. God bless us to walk the narrow way. I thank the Lord that He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray that God will bless the preaching of His Word, and that we'll study His Word, and that we'll live day by day thanking God for sending Jesus to die for us. He's the way, the only way to God. He's the truth. He's a transcendent spiritual reality. He's real. And He's the life. Let me make one more statement to you about Jesus being real. In the book of Hebrews, would you go to Hebrews? Hebrews, James, and Peter are the order after the letters of some of the letters of Paul. Hebrews, there's something I want you to think about also, ponder. Just ponder this for me. When you're thinking about Jesus being a transcendent spiritual reality, because a lot of people tell you they tell me that people will say, well, Jesus was real, but He was just a man. He wasn't God. He was just a man. He was a good man. But He failed. You know, He went to a cross. Brethren, Jesus is real. He's a transcendent reality. And here is in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 3, it says this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, that is, made, created by the Word of God. That's Jesus. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's a kind of a long verse. It's a little bit tough. But think about this. What the writer of Hebrews is saying, brethren, is this. See this podium right here? It's real. This is real wood right here. Sometime in the past, it was part of a growing tree that was alive, growing in the forest somewhere. It got cut down and it got sawed up and planed and sanded and stained, and it served a purpose right here for many years. But this was a tree and it was alive, and it got its life from the Creator, who was Jesus, the instrument of God in creation. And it's real, isn't it? But brethren, something more real than that is Jesus. Because He made the thing. He gave it life. He didn't make this stand here, but He made the wood that went into it, and He gave it life. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The world, you drive 2 miles home or 10 miles or however many it is, look out your window and you look at the world around you. Brethren, God made that by Jesus, the instrument of creation. God made it. And through faith that's given to you, when you're born again, you get faith, you're able to realize that that world was made by the Word of God. So that, and this is the way it works, the things you see out there were not made of things which do appear. I've never seen Jesus in the flesh. I've never seen Him. But brethren, He's more real than this right here, because He made this. That's just a closing thought. It's a little off the subject. I meant to cover it under one of the other topics. But that's something to meditate on, brethren. That verse right there. All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. This is part of Scripture and it's true. We understand by faith that that world out there was framed by the Word of God, and that what we see was made of things that we don't see. That's a spiritual, that's a transcendent spiritual reality there too, brethren. Meditate on that. God is good. He loved you from before the foundation of the world. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise Him. Oh, Father in heaven, teach us about Jesus. Teach us that He's the way, the only way to you. And He paved it for us by going to the cross. He made a way. That He's the truth. He's a transcendent spiritual reality. He's real. And He's truth. He's truth personified. And He was true to you, and He's true to us in saving us from our sins. And teach us that He's the life, our physical life, our eternal life, our spiritual life. And He's the abundant life. If we follow Him, He gives it to us. May we do it. We praise You. May we understand these thoughts. May they glorify You, and may they edify, teach, instruct, and encourage us. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names, we pray. Amen.